Shall we pray once again? Our Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for laughter. Thank you, Lord, that we can listen and you open our ears, you open our hearts to what you would have us to hear, because we know that you are here with us as we worship together. May this touch us, not from my words, but what is in your love letter to us through this Bible. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Reading from Acts, and we believe with pretty certainty that Luke wrote the book of Acts, just the way it starts out, and familiarity with it, and so many things. And there's one thing I want to say before I start this. You may already know this, but some people have asked me this: what is the difference between a disciple and an apostle? A disciple is one that is learning, which we all are learning. An apostle is one who is sent. So they can interchange at times. So you'll hear that in the scriptures. But we are learning when we are sent. Okay? Just a little piece of information there. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote this all about Jesus and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. But John has baptized with water, but you will be baptized the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the time or period that the Father has set of his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they all gazed toward heaven. Suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord. You know, Jesus' ascension doesn't really get much attention. Oh, we celebrate, obviously, during Advent, the coming of Jesus, the birth that we get so excited about, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, at Christmas time with lots of celebration. Then it comes to Lenten, and then we go the journey that he goes with, going to the cross, to the suffering, through the agony that he had, the death, and the resurrection. But if we don't celebrate and think about the ascension, we lose some important information when we leave that, because without the ascension, Jesus' work would be incomplete. So we don't think of that often. The ascension marks the transition from his worldly ministry back to his heavenly ministry. Verse 1 through 5 tells us that Jesus, after his resurrection, appeared many times during that 40 days. He appeared to his disciples. He cooked for them. He ate with them. People saw him countless times performing miracles, showing that it was in a bodily form. He was a spirit. He showed them his hands. He showed them his feet. He said, I am real. I have risen from the dead. Now, he did this on purpose so the tale wouldn't be going around like it was. Well, they've hidden the body. He really didn't rise. Jesus was sure to say, this is me. I did rise from the dead. I have come back alive, and I have come to give your message. This was a command, and the command, as they were eating together, said, I will be leaving you, but you are to wait. You are to wait on the Father. You're going to wait on the gift that the Father has you. How many people, I would see a hand in here. How many of you have trouble waiting? Yeah. I want it right now or yesterday. We think about our technology and all that, but I won't go into that because we know how we don't like to wait. But he said, you wait because the Father is going to send you something that you can't even imagine how powerful, how wonderful it will be. Now, John has baptized you with water, but he's going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, he just says to wait. And we have to understand that that promise was made for generations following the disciples and goes very much for us even today, that it changed the lives of many, many. The entire book of Acts reveals all the things that have happened, that the world was turned upside down, but just a few men, few disciples, a few apostles that followed Jesus. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit. They turned the world upside down. They climbed out of their pain. They climbed out of their lack of understanding to serve him, to stand boldly in front of people and tell them about the saving grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the disciple says, as we knew in Acts 1:6, well, what's going to happen then? Are you going to save Israel? Are you going to come marching in and save us? Are you going to be the king? Tell everybody how strong you are and we're good people and no one's going to run over us again. No one's going to run us out of a country. This disciple still hadn't gotten it, right? They still had not gotten it. And Jesus, I think, perhaps said, maybe a little curtly, it's not for you to know. They had expected a military force to take over. Boy, they were just waiting for that. That wasn't what Jesus said. He had told them time and time again, like he tells us many things time and time again. But he said, it's not for you to know. It's the Father's business. Don't worry about it. Get on with what I'm telling you. Focus again, guys. Focus. I'm telling you to wait in Jerusalem. And I want you to wait for the gift that the Father has. My command to be my witnesses. But he once again reassured them of the power they would have to give them hope and safety. We're kind of like that as well, aren't we? We're so concerned about God's timing and things that are going on in our own lives. It's hard to trust God. We kind of run around on our own steam. At least I do a lot of times. We take a step, but we want to know what's way out there. We don't want to trust. But God says the power within us that he gives us tells us to take one step at a time. He will reveal to us what is to be done. That's what he was telling the disciples to wait for. Trust God with the timing. Now we know all about Peter. Peter said before Jesus was arrested, he said, Jesus, I'll die with you. Then what happened to Peter? He denied Jesus vehemently 3 times. He cursed him. I never knew him. But yet, this weakly coward, Peter, God used him. And he was telling him, I'm going to give you power. The Father's going to give you power. You don't even understand. You will teach. You will preach. You will bring thousands knowing the story of Jesus Christ. A life-changing experience down through the ages. It is essentially the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit that changed the disciples and that continue changes each of us today. We're saved. We accept Christ as our personal Savior, and we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, The Holy Spirit is not, by the way, your conscience. It's not a thing, it's a person. It's part of the Trinity. In a few minutes, we say the Apostles' Creed. It's a thing. Something, if we listen to a voice that tells us, warns us, gives us instructions, comforts us, that's what the Holy Spirit is. He comes, and this power lives in individuals, in families, in nations, our community, and on His command. Perhaps our Jerusalem is our community. Our Samaria, Judea, is our nation. Going in all the world is all the nations. We have the power to do this because the disciples had that power, not just them. That's where it started. You're going to hear more about that next week, which is Pentecost. His empowerment of the waking of the Holy Spirit. Verse 9 and 11 says, I'll be back. How many of you have had it hard to say goodbye? Most of us have had to say goodbye at some time or another, some way or another. Well, Jesus and his buddies, so to speak, most of the time his buddies, would say to him, they ate together, they slept together, they argued together, they learned together. But they were going to have to say goodbye. He was going back to his heavenly kingdom, but they were to be left and instructed to wait for the power to carry on the work that he had. It must have been the most fearful moment for them if they really thought about the wonderment. Our leader's leaving. What are we going to do? Even though he had told them. I would imagine this was a very fearful time for them. However, he says, I will be back. But you know, goodbyes usually have three components. It's emotional. Some of us are a little more emotional than others when we say goodbye. But I imagine Jesus was even emotional. But he'd been these guys, he'd lived together for over 3 years. And the other one is, I'll stay in touch with you. And the other component would be, I'll see you again. That's what Jesus said. It's exactly what he promised them that he would do. The angels told them about seeing him again. This morning we'll partake of this holy meal that we have here. It's a mystery that we have of plain elements of juice and bread that God has made as elements and a mystery for us to be the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. In the authority of Jesus' ascension, he was the one that gave the marching orders. It's a whole different ball game now. He wasn't keeping his mouth shut. He wasn't keeping his head down like he did in the trials. All of that. He was giving the marching orders. Now, if you don't know, guys, what marching orders are, it might be an old term, but boy, my mom could really give you marching orders, and you really listen. You're going to do it this way. And this Jesus will come back in the same way. He'll come back the same way that he has gone. Jesus went up in the heaven. He went up in majesty, in glory, in dignity, over death, over hell, over sin, for us in the salvation. And he will come again in power. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There are times when we think about some of these things, when we think about the Holy Spirit, and how the Holy Spirit works in our lives, warns us, tells us what to do. When I was in clinical pastoral education, I was in the hospital probably 90 hours a week, going to school, making rounds, doing a lot of things. But I found a place to shop. Someone said, Trudy, we'll find a place to shop, you know, even in the hospital. But they brought in long tables with beautiful black velvet on the table with shiny, beautiful jewelry. And the lights were shining down on it. And I thought, man, I made a beeline for that table to see what was on it. And my cross, I've worn this cross about 40 years now, I guess. And when I bent down, my cross fell like that on the table. And the light caught it. And in my mind, I heard, feed my sheep. On my cross is a sheep with a cross. Well, both pagers went off, so I forgot about it. Went about what I was doing. The next day, they still had the table out there, so I thought, I'm going to try it one more time. I walked up to the table, but I didn't get very close, and I heard it again. Feed my sheep. So I did hear it that time. After I got off duty that day, the next morning, as I was going home, I was driving. It was very quiet in the car. I was rather tired. And I heard this, Trudy, why don't you become a pastor? And I remember how I felt at that time. It was like, oh, why not? Now that's, I can remember, I can be so holy at times, people. Oh, I can be so holy. But that was it. It was nothing earth-shattering. It's just, I brought you to this late in life. Why not? That is when I started my journey many, many years ago in becoming a pastor and being here for a long time. I said his ascension brought victory over death, sin, and hell for each of us. As we trust him, we have to remember that power to do that. He can give us the power to be bold about our witness, to do things that we possibly could not do without him. So we find ourselves over 2,000 years ago, waiting for his return. The apostles set the stage. It's been passed down through the generations, waiting for the Spirit to fill us, to be that which he uses our talents, the way he's created, to use in ministry. Wouldn't it be a novel thing if we really depended on the Holy Spirit to lead our personal lives and the life of the church? You see, God can use each of us. He used Peter with all of his faults, and he made him strong. He could use each of us with the empowerment of the Spirit to do whatever he calls us to do and to be. And I ask you this morning, do you really want to depend on the Spirit? Sometimes it's difficult to trust, not depend on ourselves. But we listen to the Spirit, our life changes. We want to be in charge of everything, don't we? But when we give up that feeling, it's such a good feeling. When God is in charge, we don't know, have to know where the next step comes from or what the end is going to be. Because God has already been to the end. He knows. And He loves us so much. Do you really want to trust Him and have His power? God gave each of us a choice. In the ascension next week, we will find out. That's the beginning, the Holy Spirit of the church. May we as individuals remember this church, even though we can't see Jesus, He is here as much as He was with the disciples. He is here with this holy meal. We can't see Him, but He is here and guiding every much as He did disciples. And yes, sometimes saying to us, just like He said to the disciples, focus, people, focus. Keep your mind on what I'm saying. But He chooses not the perfect, but the faithful to do the work. This glove, it's pretty, isn't it? My son-in-law got that for me. Thank you, Dennis. It's kind of limp, isn't it? Louise told me a little story about this. It's a wonderful way to explain the Holy Spirit. See this? I can just wad it up. It doesn't do much. We are made in the image of God, of God's love. This glove is made in the image of a hand. Can't do anything, can it? You put the hand in the glove. And it works, doesn't it? My brain nerves are telling it what to do. It can accomplish so many things, so many good things. That's the way the Holy Spirit is when we are the glove and the hand is God. The glove, God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.